Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name football. Of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we got in mind to hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a side where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kids can spin the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? And you love this podcast too.
And welcome back to the week one recap of Mountain West Connection, our podcast here. I'm Jeremy, hanging out with Chris.
Hello.
He's here. He didn't abandon us after the Thursday night game, or the games on Saturday, or the Sunday night game. He's back.
On Friday night.
Friday night, there was a win.
No, he didn't.
Colorado State.
Well, Colorado State, but did you watch the UNLV game?
Oh, yeah, your crazy upset pick didn't go so well.
But it's not much as my crazy upset pick.
Crazy stupid.
That's like my third.
Crazy stupid upset pick.
I wasn't supposed to be crazy or stupid.
Okay.
And also, I'm literally talking about, because, you know, I attend UNLV and all that.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Check us out. We're at MWCConnection.com. Sam at Twitter, MWCConnection. Let's try to get at Greek Padre above 400 followers, maybe. We'll see how that works out. And, yeah, this is the show. We're going twice a week now. This is our college football show. And week one, on a scale of 1 to 10, not your Boise State Broncos, but where would you put the league as a whole this past week?
A 4.
4, because you know how many wins there were against FBS opponents, right?
One.
And, yeah, we'll get to the games and everything overall. What do you think did we overrate anything too much this year? And preseason-wise? Because basically we know, if you watch the Wake Up College Football, we all know nothing about college football.
This is pretty much true. And I feel like every year that we say this, we always get something just horribly wrong on week one. You could check our week one podcast from last week, and we were horribly wrong about that. And the week one podcast from 2 years ago, and I'm pretty sure we were horribly wrong about that. Just week one is just bad in general. It's why I don't place bets on week one. It's why, you know, I don't put any faith into what I'm saying, even though I totally put faith into what I'm saying in week one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because You can study as much as you want and still get everything wrong.
Week one is for optimism. After week one is where we slowly slip back into depression. Yes. But I do think we probably did overrate teams a little bit. Certain teams. I would not actually put Boise State in one of those ratings, because should we go ahead and start Thursday night?
Yeah, let's just start the games. We'll go.
Go ahead. Thursday night, this game was 7-6 up until halfway through the fourth quarter. No, not even halfway. About 10 minutes into the fourth quarter, it was 7-6. Boise State could have easily won this game if they actually had red zone offense.
That's the thing. Should we hand the baton off to San Jose to Boise State, or is it too early for that?
We might want to do that.
Okay. Here's – as I put in our – I'm starting something every week, because I used to do a here's what we learned from each team. But that can be kind of it can be boring a bit. So I kind of went a different way. It's kind of like, what happened? I put like, so I guess, should I actually name this "So What Happened This Week in MW Football"? Should that be a good title every week?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what it'll be every week. And I put in there, Boise State's no longer, they're still a good team, just no longer elite. I think that's a very accurate statement.
Well, I think we've known this statement for a while,
though. But I think it's official. The past 3 years, they lost two. They lost Ole Miss, Michigan State, and who was the year before? Or
Washington.
Yeah, well, oh no, excuse me, yeah, sorry.
It was Washington last year, yeah, Michigan State the year before.
And now Ole Miss. Boise used to win those games, Virginia Tech, Oregon. They would get these wins. Now they're not.
I think we can hold off at least on the year. And I mean, even if Boise State had gone undefeated this year, would they be considered an elite team? And that's something being remained to be seen. You cannot, as a quarterback, you cannot have four interceptions in this game. I'll go ahead and say this. The turning point in this game was not after Ole Miss scored their second touchdown with 12:26. The turning point in this game was after Grant Hedrick's fourth interception.
Yeah, because in the first half, was
right after that.
Yeah, in the first half, it was back-to-back interceptions. Bo Wallace wasn't. Yeah, he did. Okay, first half, both quarterbacks were awful. Bo Wallace picked it up in the second and the fourth. Not even second half, the fourth quarter. Like, so after that first drive in the fourth quarter where they went down with 12 something left, they scored. He was efficient moving the ball. He picked up most of his stuff in that fourth quarter. He had three of his four touchdown passes in the fourth quarter.
But you want to know what the most frustrating thing about this is? Grant Hedrick's passing. Look at his passing statistics. 36 of 44. Every single person would think, okay, 36 of 44. That's a good stat. 264 yards, 6 yards an average. Okay, that's decent. One touchdown, and then four interceptions. That's just completely
off the wall. The 6 yards an attempt or average. And I mean, look at Shane Williams-Rode, 14 for 53.
Yeah, he's not hitting his deep passes.
And when they did the short stuff, he wasn't able to fake and juke and get past and get 20 yards on that bubble wide receiver screen or quick pass.
Right. But I think the story of this game, I mean, you did have Bo Wallace on the other hand, 25 of 36, 387, four touchdowns, three interceptions. Though four touchdowns great, three interceptions bad. I think the three main takeaways from this Boise State game is, one, the defense is still really good. It wasn't until late in the fourth quarter.
They wore down. That's what it was.
Where the defenses were completely worn down and Wallace was able to do everything. Because look, big plays, 31-yard touchdown pass, 76-yard touchdown pass. That's just a sign of a weak – that's just a sign of a worn-down defense after three and a half quarters of play. On the other hand, number two, Jay Ajayi, after week one, yeah, he might – early predictions about him being the offensive player of the year, that might be coming true. Because he is easily the most valuable player on Boise State's team, and he will carry this team to as much as he possibly can.
Yeah, his 86 yards rushing weren't great, but he had 93 in the passing game. 12 receptions, I believe that's a career high. It has to be.
Yeah.
I think we knew he could catch a couple here and there, but 12 receptions, 93 yards. What I didn't like was, here's what the thing, like, watching the game, I know you had this exact same thing. First quarter, right out of the gate, they're motion. They're doing stuff. They're not stagnant. They're not forcing the pistol. They actually did what Brian Harsin did years before.
And you're bringing me to my actual third point, so go ahead and continue.
Well, you take your point. Actually, I don't want to take it from you. Go ahead.
That third point is that, you know, Boise State, you just said Boise State is probably not an elite team, and we proved it with this game, but the spirit, I would say the spirit of Boise State's offense has returned. And I mentioned that in a comment. I saw that from a fan post on Obnug. I believe it was Senior Chief, the commenter. And he's absolutely right. I haven't seen this much innovation in offense since 2010, since Brian Harsin left.
The only thing I didn't like was the second end-around wide receiver toss. Unnecessary. The first one, dude, you got to catch that. Touchdown. Waiting to happen. They were fine. I thought, if you look at three quarters, it's 7-6. Things I didn't like, you got J.H.I.E. first and goal at the, what, 2? And run at the gut doesn't work a couple of times. Why are you going to bounce outside to Robert Kandicham's side? What are you doing? Why even attempt to try to run that play? He knocked a pass down, I think one of them was intercepted. Why don't they run on that third down? I believe, was that in the first or second quarter when they settled for that field goal?
The 25-yarder?
Yeah.
That was in the second quarter.
Second quarter. Why don't they mix in? They have Shane Williams-Rhodes. Give him that bubble screen, and he'll just do the quick pass and get in there. Give it to Matt Miller. Throw it to
Burt Dunn. Or however, what about a play-action pass?
First down doesn't work. Second down doesn't work. You're at the one. They have to respect the run coming. They can't just say, okay, we'll put 7 guys or 8 guys.
Or you know what? The first two times you ran out down the gut with the Jai, try somebody else. You have somebody in there listed as a fullback. Does Boise State even have a fullback? I'll check that right now.
Check the roster, but why don't they even do this? They could even go 5 wide and shotgun and do a draw play. That could work as well because they'll give you so much room. Put Hedrick under center and Jai back there, 4 wide receivers, so they can't put.
I can't believe I'm saying this. Pistol.
Well, not even pistol. Yeah okay. I wouldn't do the pistol there. It's different, so maybe. But you're running the same play. And then the worst thing was, on that third down play, they Jai, for some reason, I don't know if the play was called that way or not, but he decided to go behind the guard and tackle and not behind the center. It's like, come on.
And here's half the problem is Boise State does not have a listed fullback.
Stick a tight end. Put Dustin Burroughs back there to go up the middle or something. Come on. Or whatever his name is.
Dallas Burroughs. Oh, yeah. You want somebody, J.J., for as versatile as he is and as smash mouth as he is and as spicy as he is, you need a 250-pound person running the ball, listed as a tight end, just running the ball, just smashing it up. Because as much as you have to respect the run, if you have that extra weight on you, you have a higher center of gravity, and you can just fall forward.
Or, if Jai caught 12 passes, why not throw him do a screen or something, try something different?
Oh, you mean motion the running back out?
Or do that, yeah, do something. I don't know. That play was, I'm like, their red zone was just awful. It's like, you got to do something in the red zone. Here's the wrap on the game. Basically, it comes down to, they wore down at the end. They couldn't take advantage of their own turnovers they created with picking off Bo Wallace 3 times. And I felt just in fourth quarter, because they had, what was it, 11 tackles for loss and a couple sacks? It wasn't like they weren't getting to the quarterback or the running game.
No, they were on Bo Wallace a lot.
They're on him, and then the running game, what, the leading rusher get 25 yards, I believe?
Something like that. 77 yards.
71 total yards. 27 for Mark Dotson. Jordan Wilkins had 21. And on Dotson, he had a 19-yard run. So it's like, they were not played. It's just the interceptions hurt. He went toe for toe for each interception, was back and forth.
Let me go ahead and say this. Dan Goodell doesn't make that 25-yard field goal. Instead, they score the touchdown. That score in the second quarter is 7-7. You have a tie game.
Yeah.
The field goal after that makes it 13-7. I think for as defensively minded the game...
Well, no, not 13-7, 10-7.
Sorry, 10-7. I think for as defensive minded as the game is, I think that does change the focus. Having a touchdown changes the focus of things.
Look at the Hawaii game.
Exactly.
Or Utah State game as well.
So... what did we learn? Yeah, I'll go ahead and say it. Boise State is not an elite team. But they have the potential to be there. They had a...
their weakest player is obviously Grant Hendrick.
But that could be fixed.
I didn't think that would be the case when he started half the season last year when Joe Southwick went out with that broken ankle.
As much as the end of the game I said, oh, start putting in Ryan Finley, I had to rethink that. And because Hedrick is, this is his first year starting. But here's the thing to consider. Ole Miss is the toughest team Boise State will face all year.
Oh, geez, look at Fresno, Utah State. It's like, come on.
Oh, go even look at BYU.
And well,
BYU had a 35-10 win over UConn, but did they look good doing that?
150-yard penalty says otherwise, and then rolling into a turtle shell in the second half offensively says no.
Yes, exactly. Okay, Boise State. Somebody did mention, I forgot where I saw this, but somebody mentioned that Boise State had an SEC-type defense. And obviously, for three quarters of the game, it showed.
And Bo Wallace was a second team all-conference. Yeah. And Bo Wallace was a, what, second or third team preseason all-conference. He showed in the fourth quarter, but here's the last question. We got a lot of games. We need to move on. We can't do what we did last time, spend 20 minutes one game, because I want to talk about Hawaii football a lot later down the road. But so where do you think this team stands within the conference? Because the conference went 1-5. The only win was we'll get our next game, CSU over Colorado. Do you still put Boise as the – they play CSU next week. If you were to say right now Boise, CSU, they're the contenders in the Mountain Division. Utah State, not there.
Look, okay, so I did the power ranking this morning, and I put them 6th. That's purely because they don't have a win on them.
I think I put them about the same place. So let's move on to the next game. We'll discuss this Boise State Colorado State game as it comes forward. But Colorado State, Colorado.
Hi, Colorado State.
Hey, Rams. Hey.
Thanks for our sole win against an FBS team this year.
Not just that. I am quite. That game surprised me because we know Colorado is awful. They're going to win maybe 3 games. So as not to rain on everybody's parade, after I discussed with Twitter how I love D Hart and how everybody played well and everything worked great. Actually, let's move back. Do we need to say anything about San Jose State, North Dakota? They also play Thursday night.
San Jose State, no red zone problems. 6-for-6 in the red zone.
And it looks like Blake Jurek is the starting quarterback, 22-25 for 250. Running games there. Everything looks good for them.
So let's move on. Can we say Dark Horse Mount West Contender, or is that too early?
They play an FCS team, so I don't know yet.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
However,
we're not sure yet, but they look damn good.
However, they did not do what Wyoming and Nevada did and struggled against FCS teams.
But okay, we'll get to Montana in a little.
Yeah, I'm just saying
because I have very strong beliefs about Montana.
I know you do. I'm just saying they looked good doing it. The turnovers no turnovers, penalties weren't there, completed third down conversion. They played well, so. So I know people got on me for not mentioning San Jose State or Wyoming and that what happened in the Mountain West. We play an FCS team. I'm going to talk about other things most likely.
That's good job, Spartans. You didn't lose.
Yeah, and there are things.
You're an FCS team.
Yeah, they're a red zone.
Looking at you, Florida International and Iowa State. Well, no, Iowa State lost to North Dakota State, so that's completely understandable.
4 years in a row.
Side note: never schedule North Dakota State. Don't do it.
Big 12. Come on.
Don't do it. Colorado State a few years ago.
Yeah. Can we
still do it?
Wait. Can we get North Dakota State to play Alabama?
I do. The tears would be delicious.
That would be excellent. All right, let's actually move on to the game we were going to discuss before I got sidetracked of our chronological order. Colorado State, CSU, Colorado State. This Rocky Mountain Showdown doesn't get a ton of credit it deserves, but like I said, Colorado's they're predicted to be last in the Pac-12 South, probably going to win 2 or 3 games. And I was praising everything, like I said, D. Hart, and the running game's great. Treyus Gerald's played very well. But I reminded people, good win, good comeback. You beat probably one of the worst FBS teams in the country.
Yeah,
I'm not. Absolutely. I'm not wrong. We can be positive and cheery. They did great, which we will. But remember who you beat. Would you say the same thing about this game? I get the rival does a little bit more to it. If Colorado State came from behind and beat Indiana, Illinois, Duke, you know what I mean? They beat teams like that. Like, how would you feel if they beat Northwestern like this?
I get what you're saying, but I still think my opinion remains the same.
Which is
you beat a rival, you beat a Pac-12 team, outbite the worst Pac-12 team in the Pac-12, but you still beat a Power 5 school.
Yeah, I give them, I'm just saying, like, pump the brakes, but even though I was championing them to be this great team and can't wait till next week, boy, J.H.I.E. versus D. Hart, and apparently getting smack talk about saying D. Hart will challenge J.H.I.E., which I think he will, for the best running back, you still beat a bad Colorado team. In saying that, Garrett Grayson vastly underachieved in this game. Did not do well, but here's the reason everybody, I assume most people realize this, but Capri Bibbs left for the NFL after 1 year because Colorado State lost four-fifths of their offensive line. The least experienced team back there. Why would you stay after him doing the maneuver he made to go from high school to JUCO, take so many credits to be eligible? They come in, Colorado State even lost one of their, the only off, right, I think is a right tackle to an MCL sprain, I believe, in the game, and their only experienced guy, and they still did this against the, who cares, it's a Pac-12 team. You know, like what Craig James always said, oh, they got talent there, they're going to be better because they recruit better. There's a point to that, but they came out and did their thing, and Jim McElwain's bringing what he did to Alabama out here to Fort Collins, and their third and fourth quarter was amazing. They scored, was it 31, or 17 straight points, down 10-0, down 17-7, come back and rattle off.
They scored 17 straight points.
Or no, excuse me, 21 straight points. Well, no, sorry, 17.
No, 17.
Sorry, yeah, my math is fuzzy here at this hour.
Look,
go so Rams.
Offensive
Rams.
Line, huge holes for rushing. I think that Hart Gerrals might be the best 1-2 punch in the Mountain West.
Well, nobody else has
I would say that Iosefa Lakalaka is better.
Or maybe Fajardo and Don Jackson's looking pretty good.
Well, possibly.
But those are quarterback running back, not two.
On the other hand, though, you have Garrett Grayson.
He should be better.
He should have been a lot better. As much as we were talking about Grant Hedrick,
having four
interceptions. The one thing I could say about Grant Hedrick is at least he was connecting on passes for the most part.
Yeah, 13.
A lot of the times those connection on passes were to the other team. But Garrett Grayson, 13 of 23, only 134 yards.
True, but part of that is Colorado State found out earlier they could run versus Colorado defense. So they didn't really need to throw unless they really needed to throw.
Yeah, but still, when you were down 10-0, you have to do something.
Sure, yeah. Like, if you're looking early on, he was throwing okay, but then they're down. Like, here's the one drive to go 3-and-out at their own 5. Come on, you pass 3 straight plays? It's ridiculous. That was part of it, too, where he started throwing bad. But then, if you look at they average almost 7 yards a carry. They're down 10-0. The drive they actually score their first touchdown, it was Garrett Grayson the reason they did so. Completed, well, a couple passes on that drive. Like, D. Hart got in the passing game. They got a 22-yard pass to Kevon Cartwright, the tight end. They were passing to Higgins. They were making plays. Like, okay, the Higgins one, pass interference, but they were throwing the ball to make plays. I'll count that as a completion. If you get pass interference, give that 10 yards. They moved the ball down the field on the one drive. So when they needed points, they did it, and throwing the ball down 10-0, they did it. But then they found out shortly later on that, well, let's run the ball. Why are we doing this passing stuff when you can run at will in the second half? They made basically what comes down to those second half adjustments. That's what they did, and Colorado couldn't stop the running game. And you're averaging 6.5 yards a carry. Why do you need to pass as much?
Let me ask you this. Okay.
Go for it. I'm here. I'm listening.
That being said, does this completely shift the focus of the Colorado State offense to maybe what could have been a pass-heavy Garrett Grayson, pass-heavy offense to Hart and Gerald's just running all over everybody?
100%.
So that basically takes Garrett Grayson out of the running for any offensive player of the year awards, right?
it's early to tell, too early to tell on that, but
when absolutely it's too early to tell.
Everything is too early to tell, but when Rashard hit your two best receivers combined for two catches, Charles Lovett and Rashard Higgins, and Lovett has one for
three touchdowns.
Two. What do you mean three touchdowns?
Your two best, your, oh, wait, are we talking, oh, receivers.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Higgins and Lovett. Two receptions, 14 total yards, Lovett minus two. He did. The good thing I see, they spread the ball out, which is good. They got DeHart involved. They got the tight end involved. But they need, they got to be a bit more balanced. They got to throw the ball a little bit. They got to throw it better than that. Because I am so pumped. Like, there is no, not looking at our podcast preview right here. Who said it here? I got it up. Somebody said it here. Garrett Grayson. Was it Matt? Our guy Matt that said that CSU would go to a, that would be, that game would decide the Mountain West title.
Was it Matt? It was Colorado State, Boise State.
Well, he put Matt. He put no. Where is it? No, Terrence. Yeah, Terrence. That's what it was.
That was Terrence. Yeah,
going crazy. Yeah, he goes. They're gonna win. They're gonna be the champion. Higgins is gonna be the player of the year. Maybe not. That might be a bit overstated. Now, Matt chose Garrett Grayson's offensive player of the year. There was somebody, maybe it was in the comments, that said the Boise CSU game will decide the title.
No, you're right. It was one of our CSU guys. I think it was Terrence.
I thought it was in the comment section. Maybe it was him. We only put part of it in here, but that, geez, that, it's possible, man. This team.
That, or it might have been a.
It could have been
one, our Air Force guy.
It could have, maybe. It could have been, because I put some of the comments from emails we discussed, so maybe that was the case, but this CSU game, I am. Okay, then am I wrong? Because I know Boise State fans, CSU Boise State hasn't been closed the past 2 years. I got thrashed by saying DeHart could possibly be the best running back in the league.
What? Seriously?
I put possibly, and I noted week one.
He looked phenomenal from this game.
Because next week I put, oh, Jai versus DeHart. Isn't
that good? That's going to be the talk this week anyway.
It has to be, because what he did, I know he couldn't crack the lineup at Alabama. Part of that, injuries. And if you're injured, you can't build up enough to play. He's only been on campus like 3 weeks. 3.5 weeks or whatever. He's still trying to know where his math class is tomorrow on Tuesday. I'm just saying. He probably doesn't know the campus all that well.
Right.
And but I'm the best, like, oh, JJ, I think it shut down Capri Bibb 60 yards last year. I'm like, oh, yeah, you did. The game hasn't been close, but you still can't appreciate the potential of what could happen on Saturday.
And that's the thing, is all of this is potential. And we're going to talk about that Boise State, Colorado State game more in our next podcast.
Yeah, our next show. And I'll give Boise the credit and everything to JJ, but that still doesn't mean if this deep offense, running offense, can crack that Boise defense that did pretty good versus Ole Miss.
But at the same time, though, Sefo Liaofau, that receiving core, Colorado State secondary is going to be a slight issue.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I don't think they're not going to obviously wear them down. But next game. Oh, really quick. So is CSU the best hope for the New Year's Day Bowl of the Mountain West?
Possibly.
That's why I kind of noted, because it's conference champion, so technically Boise, Utah State, those guys are still in the running for that.
Possibly, yeah. And that's the thing. I think no matter what, I think a member of the Mountain Division, it has more of a chance than a member of the West Division. But I think what we're going to be seeing is it just how do these teams mature over the years.
Definitely. All right, next game. You're our, both of our, I at least picked them to cover. You wanted them to win. UNLV, never change, my friend. You're always the same. You will always be the same. You lose to a mediocre Pac-12 South team. 58-13 to a guy.
Are we sure they were mediocre, though?
Preseason projections would agree with me.
Huh?
Preseason projections. They're behind USC, UCLA, Arizona State, then Arizona.
Okay. Fine. Whatever.
And but they started a redshirt freshman quarterback.
They started a redshirt freshman quarterback who just completely tore up the place. But the one thing I've noticed about this game, I'm sorry. My dog is barking. My parents' dog is barking, and I'm going to completely ignore it while I continue to do this.
We'll be fine. That's your background music.
But here's the thing I noticed about Arizona again. First of all, Rich Rod, kind of a not nice person. You're keeping your first string starters after the third quarter. You don't have to do that.
Yeah, it was. What was it like? It was up by 30 at halftime or something like that. I got it right here. Sorry.
They were only up 24-6, and I say only because their defense, UNLV's defense, showed for a while. Look at the way the scoring happened. Okay, 39-yard touchdown pass, big play. 63-yard touchdown pass, big play. 28-yard field goal. Stop. Okay. Fine. That's actually essentially a goal line stop.
Yeah.
Right?
They got the 92-yard pass.
92-yard touchdown pass. Big play.
First play of the third quarter.
First play of the first.
Nick Wilson's 85-yard run. So there were defense. Big plays.
85-yard run. 30. These are all big plays that. If the defense could shut down, and the defense, for the most part,
don't give them a cop out. No, they gave up 787 yards.
Okay, fine. No compliment. No compliment.
The best I will give them is that they held Arizona to only 11 of 21 on third down.
And that's where I was going.
Okay, making sure, like, you can't give them any kudos for this.
No. But, I mean, how many of those were big plays, too? 787 yards.
What, 200 of it, maybe? That's still 587.
Exactly. you take out that 92-yard pass. That's under 700, my friend.
Why? Okay, I have a question here. Maybe I'm ignorant or something I missed completely. Where was Shaquille Murray Lawrence? No carries. I looked online. Couldn't find anything.
He wasn't in the game at all.
So I looked at the Las Vegas Sun, Review Journal, nothing. I don't know.
Is he injured? That's one thing I couldn't figure out.
And he was not on their depth chart either. Because I was doing the recap for the game, because I was late. I saw, by the time I switched over from the Colorado game, because that game got interesting, I watched a little, I saw the score. I stopped watching this game. I'm not going to stay up till midnight to watch this.
Another thing, receivers had a few drops. More drops than
considered. Correct. I saw you on Twitter the first couple drives, there were some incomplete, not some good catches. But where was DeMarcus Sullivan? 1 for 2?
Yeah, and this is the thing. Okay, Blake Decker, I know why Bobby Houck picked him as a starter. Anytime you go 22 of 41, your first game, 252, one touchdown, that pick didn't happen until the very end.
Yeah, that pick six, yeah.
Those aren't horrible stats. And for UNLV, those are pretty good first game stats.
Excuse me, not a pick six. Sorry, that was a different game I'm thinking of. Yeah, it's not terrible. And he also ran for 56 yards.
Exactly. He scrambled when he needed to scramble.
I don't know what to make of this UNLV team. I figured they would be about what they were last year, but no, this is the same old UNLV team. No defense. Offense does okay. Because they have talent. Because I thought Devontae Davis and Marcus Sullivan could be the best 1-2 receiving in the conference.
Yeah.
And Davis is the best receiver by far.
Well, but here's the thing, though. You have a new quarterback. Maybe he's not fully comfortable with Marcus Sullivan yet. Because that's why Devontae Boyd, redshirt freshman, by the way, had 6 receptions, 102 yards. That's more than, that's more yards than Devontae Davis.
Yeah, led the team by 2 yards.
Still, you have a guy who's basically a target, deep threat target, more than Devontae Davis. Boyd dropped a couple passes that could have easily been touchdowns. And he was wide open on them.
Regardless, this UNLV team,
I'm still not sure what to think about UNLV. I still think it's very possible for them to make a bowl game.
They'll beat Northern Colorado. That'll be fine, but we won't know anything for a couple weeks.
No.
All right, so next game. Sorry.
And also, Arizona Rich Rod, mean guy.
Sure.
Not pulling your starters until late. Very late. Like the last 3 minutes of the game.
Pull him in the fourth quarter. Like start of the fourth quarter. Let him go. Come on. Or maybe.
Yeah, but if you're up by like 30 points already, pull him then.
You're up 40-30. What he should have done was, I can see that. Okay, finishing out the third quarter, they got the field goal. I probably would have pulled them up 41-13. But when you give it to, is Nick Wilson even their starting running back? No. I think it depends. Some people, like coaches, like when they pull players, here's what, if you notice what they'll do. A lot of the times they will, if it's an offense, they'll take out the starting quarterback, put in the backup, and then they'll maybe rotate some linemen in there and some backups that way. They won't go full second 11.
I'm just still used to the Chris Peterson offense where if we're winning by 30 early in the first or early in at half or halftime, which typically they were, the players were taken out, you know, very close to right after the start of halftime.
Well, that's also Urban Meyer does that too. Like we need
except for one team, and that's Idaho.
Like Urban Meyer does. I remember it like most vividly for me in Utah. Brian Johnson would come in for Alex Smith in 04 for like play the whole second half. He'd bring in all the backups. He'd sprinkle in some starters still just make sure he gets protected because the depth wasn't great for them back then or for any amount similar to any amount of team. But he wants to get those guys experience in case something does happen. And that's what with that Arizona team being third or fourth in the Pac-12 South, you'd think he'd want to get other guys chances to play a bit more.
So. Right.
All right, so next game, Saturday slate. We got a bunch of FCS games here. We found the running back at Air Force. They top Nicholls State 44-16. Yeah, one of the worst FCS teams out there. I think, is it Nicholls State in Louisiana, I believe? Does that sound about right?
I think so, yes.
Jacoby Owens, congratulations. You are the Air Force starting running back for here on out.
Welcome to the team.
I would like you to cross the pylon, but 23 for 233. Not too bad.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I really want to take out of that. They do probably need a second running back. David Rushing was the goal line guy, 7 for 55, a couple of touchdowns. Plenty of guys scored. Brome Hart, I'm surprised he only got 4 carries. I thought he might see a bit more. But that's all I want to mention. Jacoby Owens is going to be... Was he the player that hurt his ankle and had to earn his number back? Is that him?
Yes, I think so.
I want to find out real quick, but... They play Nicholls State. If I go by my bold predictions, this is the only win for Air Force, but I don't think that's the case. But, hey, anytime – the way they had last year, they need any win they can get, and blowing out a team is definitely what they need to do.
Yeah, it's a good start for Air Force.
Yeah, he crushed him. I don't know if that's the guy or not. I forget who it was, so we'll move on from there. But, yeah, that huge game, huge win for Air Force because they got – what did they win, 2 wins last year?
Yes.
Okay. So our FCS barrage continues because there was multiples. Who's next? I closed my browser.
Nevada, Southern Utah.
Oh, man. I talked about this game a bit earlier on the Kook Center podcast because Nevada plays Washington State.
Good Lord, Nevada. Can't you do anything right?
They did a few things right. They found a running back.
They can't even win properly.
When you have 40 minutes to 20 minutes of time of possession, how do you win by 9 points?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
How do you knock out...
Cody Fajardo has 300 yards passing and 68 yards rushing. Great. Yeah, why didn't you keep it up? Why didn't you just completely blow this team out? Which is, oh, by the way, while Southern Utah is receiving votes in the FCS poll, they are nowhere near a good... what I would consider to be a good FCS team.
And they even knocked out the starting quarterback. Amon Olsen was at BYU last year, transferred so he could start. He got knocked out of the game early on. So, like, right. they went with their backup quarterback, Aaron Cantu, who still threw for almost 200 yards. They let the running game average 7.1 per carry, albeit there was a 71-yarder, so that kind of skews that. But still, there are some positives in this game. Everybody thought the passing game was done because Brandon Wimberly is gone. But look at Jericho Richardson and Richie Turner. Especially Richardson, 177, 13 receptions. And I guess during the game, Kendall Brock is now a wide receiver. That kind of
Brock is now a wide receiver, but he didn't show up in this game at all.
No, but Don Jackson, who thought there would be the starter last year, played well at running back, 110 yards. I just don't – it doesn't make sense. They were – there was a two turnovers because – okay, I didn't really watch this game. Maybe saw a few highlights. Maybe those turnovers came at the wrong points. But I, and then there was the pick six, so that doesn't help either in the fourth quarter to make it closer than it should have been. But here's the thing. You go, they hold the Southern Utah 3-14 on third down. Nevada goes a respectable 14-22. They outgained them per pass. They not many penalties. I just don't.
It doesn't make sense how they scored. Or rather, how they didn't score.
Did not score.
And you see zero fourth down attempts or conversions, so it's not just random stalls.
Yeah, they weren't.
Okay, here's your key. Here it is. I found it.
The turnover at the wrong time?
I found it. Look how many punts Nevada had. They are taking the Big Ten approach.
So the anti-Rocky Long approach?
Yeah. Punting is winning, according to Nevada. Their starting punter, Alex Boy, seven punts, 287 yards.
Eight total punts. Yeah.
They had a backup punter.
Have you seen that commercial about the backup punter?
No, I haven't.
I think it's just Kingsford Charcoal, and they're at their TV outside at the game. Everybody's wearing their generic maroon jersey, and the guy's like, some dude's like, hey, that's a weird jersey. That's a backup punter. He's like, no, I'm the backup punter. Shouldn't you be at the game? Dude, when's the last time a backup punter seen time? And then they see the, oh no, the punter goes down. Where's Shabotsky or whatever the name is? Oh, he's like, do you want to save me a burger? I'll be back in the second half. Yeah, it's like that kind of joke commercial. You're gonna see it. It's been played a ton already, but it's one of those things. Like, who cares about the backup punter? But
Backup punter saw time.
Yeah.
Why did you punt so much? Time of possession.
Look at this.
I don't understand the drives, but. No. Still, you should. If you had 547 yards of offense, you would think that there should be more scoring, right?
Here's what they should not to say that they should have done this.
Do
but
they not have enough faith in Brent Suzo to like at least attempt a 40 something odd yarder?
Well, here's this: their first drive, they get stopped in midfield on 4-for-3, fourth and three, whatever. You should go for that, or at least think about it. They had a fourth and one also at midfield, fourth and one. At the midfield punt, they were, they had plenty of fourth and short. Fourth and six at their own 45, maybe, but they tried to cut them off sides. It didn't work. I'm trying to see here. They had multiple times, at least two times, where you think they'd go for it on fourth down. I'm kind of scrolling through quickly through their drive. Okay, there's only two times where they probably should have gone for it on fourth down. Even take those away, they'll probably change the game, but you may get 10 points out of that. I don't know. And it was just an odd look at the stats. You would think, how did this game possibly happen the way it did?
I'm so confused. Nevada is confusing me.
That's what they do. So Nevada wins. Good for them. They're 1-0. They are still my dark horse to win the West, maybe.
Good Lord.
Hey, one of my dark horse picks could really happen. Okay. You want to get into this game, what do you have about Wyoming-Montana? I just see there's multiple lightning rain delays. They only win by 5 points. Not
okay, you have to remember, first of all, Montana football ranked 5th in the nation FCS. And you're like, oh, well, but that's FCS.
Yeah, come on, Chris. They only get 60 scholarships. What's up with that?
You're also thinking that, oh, wait. Montana being top five FCS, that means that they usually have a tendency to beat people on a regular basis.
Yes.
Montana, Eastern Washington, North Dakota State. I would put South Dakota State, Sam Houston State. Remember that a lot of these players, especially Sam Houston State and North Dakota State, transfer from big teams. And we're not talking just FBS teams. We're talking Power 5 teams when they need to transfer. So these are well-developed, finely tuned machine teams. Okay?
Yes, but...
Go ahead. Yes, but Wyoming still won this game.
No, it wasn't
pretty, but they won.
We figured out Craig Bull wants to run the ball, which not should not shock anybody with Sean Wick,
with,
DJ
with
May.
what exactly he did at North Dakota State.
Did you read what Ian Boyd wrote about Wyoming right before the season began?
Yes, I did.
If you go watch those plays, they run what they do. It's an interesting – I think we discussed it for a minute in our preview show just because at first head coach, but they play Montana. We don't want to spend too much time on it. They'll run an interesting play. They'll have their fullback in front, but typically you follow the fullback on every play. What they did was kind of odd. They take the fullback, go between the guard and tackle, but still at the running back, pretty much would go between the guard and center to start his run that way, and then that would open up more to the right a little bit. It's typically, if you have a fullback, you're going to follow him right behind him. They would take the fullback wide, and the running back go one step to the left or one step to the right of the inside, which is odd, and they just going to run up the middle on you and get it. But come on, Colby Kirkgaard, he got 92 yards. Montana was close because of the two interceptions.
How about Colby Kirkgaard minus 39 rushing? That's a lot of sacks.
Yeah, how many?
That's a lot of blown up plays.
How many times did he get sacked? We should probably look into that.
That's probably a lot of times. But either way, the running team did work. You take out that minus 39, Wyoming has 240 yards rushing, or almost 250 yards rushing. Sean Wick, DJ May, that's another, high 1-2 punch.
Rephrase from that. Oh, no, sorry. I looked at the wrong thing. I looked at one game. Sorry. Wyoming was sacked six times.
So six out of those eight rushing attempts by Colby Kirkgaard are for negative yards because he was sacked.
Well, basically, you wipe away those yards.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Give him 239. But I think this could be the 1-2 punch to look out for. This could be the best running attack in the league. At least Air Force New Mexico. But as for the two guys, this could be top three at worst. We got CSU. You got this. And maybe San Diego State with Donald Pumphrey back there.
Mm.
Maybe. But they won. That's all that matters. Bowling punch are in full effect.
Yeah, absolutely. No early season FCS loss like what we saw with Wyoming a couple years ago. But the quarterback situation needs to improve. Kirkgaard needs to take initiative.
Yeah, they need to get guys involved. More points. So we'll see what they got next week. But then we got, really quick, San Diego State, Northern Arizona. Good for blowing out an FCS team. San Diego State.
About time.
I'm going to put them as a driver's seat for the West, even though they beat Northern Arizona. They did what they had to do. They only turned it over once. Donald Pumphrey had 111 yards, two touchdowns. Chase Bryce had 45. Quinn Kaler, reasonably good day, 205 yards on 18 and 29, a pick, a TD. Ruffin played well. Eric Judge, Pumphrey got a pass. They did what they had to do. And Northern Arizona, they moved the ball okay. They didn't pass very well yardage-wise, but this is just a blowout where all we can say is San Diego State took care of business, and that's what they needed to do, and that was fine.
And there you go.
That's it. It's an FCS
win. That's all we need to talk about.
Same with San Jose State. Good job, good effort. Now we got Fresno State versus USC. I am so glad I changed my prediction. I'm like, after thinking about it, no way Fresno is going to win the Mountain West. No way they're going to win the West. And I still think my 6-6, they're going to start 0-3. They're going to lose to Utah. They're going to lose to Nebraska. They will be 1-3 after they beat, I believe, Southern Utah they play, their non-league slate, their FCS opponent. They're going to be 1-3 and struggle to make a bowl game this year. Am I far off on that?
It's quite possible that Fresno State looked worse than UNLV.
And I said this before the game. I changed my predictions to saying my bold. First, I said I'm turning away from Fresno. Then in my bold stuff, 6-6. And USC, they got talent. We know they're Steve Sarkisian. They're turning things around. But they couldn't do anything to stop anything.
No.
They don't have a quarterback. They have nothing at quarterback. How can Zach Greenlee not crack and get a chance in this game? They moved a little bit better with Brandon Connett, but they...
No, they didn't.
No, excuse me, sorry. Sorry, I'm getting the Bryans and Brandon mixed up. Brian Burrell, when he came in, it moved a little better, but not... They have nothing. Where was... How come... Okay, here's another... Maybe we're stupid and they're following too many teams, but where was Josh Quezada? Zero carries? Was that another mystery injury I didn't know about?
Possibly.
But Marquise Waller did fine.
I watched this game almost entirely all the way through.
Oh, why? There are other games on.
I was curious. Well, I was switching back and forth. But, yeah, if you, did you, okay, so did you, were you watching any of the interceptions?
Once I saw it was like 14-0 and they're driving, I'm like, I'm done with this. It's over.
Okay, these interceptions, the interceptions were not tips. Half the passes were to nobody.
Yeah, I saw a few of the passes.
Like, the accuracy is completely off. How? It blows my mind.
Well, Connett's not an accurate passer. We know he's a dual threat running more than he wants to pass. That's what he did.
Dual threat nothing. 7 carries, 13 yards.
That's what I'm saying. He. It's the best.
Got team, blown up.
Outside of Florida State, this is the best team he's ever played.
I just. Man, this is. You want to know why UNLV looks more promising than Fresno? Arizona might be not ranked, and might not be ranked, and Arizona might be the fourth best team in the Pac-12. But good Lord, when was the last time that USC had 700 yards of offense?
Was it the Las Vegas Bowl last year?
No, it was before that, and they had a lot of yards last year.
The best thing, I love fans who are optimistic and everything, but there's a guy in the comment section who says, this is about the same result as last year when they played in the Las Vegas Bowl. Everything was almost the same. They'll be fine. Like, dude, No. Derek Carr looked awful, but no. They lost 45-20. That is reasonably close. USC only had, in that game last year, only had 500-yard passing. Derek Carr still made plays last year, throwing the ball a little bit. He still had a pair of touchdowns. Yeah, 4 yards average per throw. He did not look very good, but still, he still showed a few things. This game,
you let nothing. Cody Kessler mark nearly 400 yards, 4 touchdowns on you.
No, I was going to say secondary did a few good things, but not really.
No, they really didn't.
They were outmanned, outplayed. They
combined
were
USC was 28-41.
Yeah.
How many sacks did Fresno State have in this game? I remember one.
How many they were sacked or got sacked?
That too.
Well, I mean, like, how many times were they were sacked?
Not Fresno State. How many times was USC sacked? The front seven. How well did the front seven do?
I don't know. I'm going to say 0 sacks. They did not register a sack.
How many tackles for losses?
Fresno State. I'm going to go with a big 0 as well if you're going this route. 5.
5. 5 tackles for losses. And probably a lot of those were just running plays that just got busted back up.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you getting at?
2 fumbles. USC had 2 fumbles, and that's what kept Fresno State in
no.
First quarter.
Dude, it was 21-0 at the first quarter. They were never in this game. Never. They went 2 of 12 on third downs, barely completed 50% combined passing. They don't know who their quarterback is. They got the ball okay to Josh Harper a few times, but they... Is USC that good, you think?
I think it's a little bit of USC actually utilizing talent, unlike Lane Kiffin, who is a buffoon.
Yeah, you got Cody Kessler is a good quarterback, and then possibly the best receiver in the country, Nelson Aguilar. He was still only 5 for 57 with 2 touchdowns.
But that being said, Fresno State went in there and just, you can't even say I'll flat out say it. UNLV looked better in their loss to... Stop. Oh, so UNLV looked better in their loss to Fresno State. UNLV looked better in their loss to Arizona than Fresno State looked in this game. And even though the score was slightly less, because it looked like Fresno State had zero answer.
No, they had no answer. Because here's with UNLV, you mentioned all those big plays. This was just a dominant, we're going to line up and beat the crap out of you. Look at these drives. 17-play drive, 7-play drive, 8-play drive. Those are okay drives, but like, look at the 17-play drive touchdown, 10-play drive field goal. Multiple, every half their scoring plays were 10 scoring drives or 10 plays or more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Time possession proved that 39-20-21.
So, can we like
move on? Where do you think Fresno's going to be? Am I wrong to say because they play Utah next week?
No, I think you might actually be right.
Thank you.
I struggle to make it in 6-6. We'll see next week or in 2 weeks. But I mean, man, that was just—it was a beating handed on a silver platter.
So is Tim DeRuiter the reason they were good? Here's what's weird to me: Pat Hill could do nothing with Derek Carr as a sophomore. Albeit sophomore, DeRuiter comes in with Dave Schramm from Utah, junior year, senior year, excellent, back-to-back Mountain West titles. They shared the first year outright last year. Was he just lucky to get Josh Harper, Austin Wentworth, Isaiah Burst, Carr, all these guys, Marcel Jensen, all these players, and whom am I missing? Devontae Adams. Was he just lucky to get these guys? You can't be lucky to have Devontae Adams get 2,000-yard seasons in his first 2 years and 40 touchdowns receiving. It can't be done by accident.
I don't know. I really don't know. We have to...
More games.
This comes back to week one, we know nothing.
Exactly.
But, good Lord, Fresno State. But, once again, this could be indicative of USC being a playoff team this year. Who knows?
Yeah, there's a good chance. All right. UTEP, New Mexico.
Man, this was heartbreaking.
Lobos try to come back. Can't do it.
Fumble. They fumbled twice. They fumbled twice in the final 5 minutes.
That cannot happen.
New Mexico you don't understand. New Mexico was losing 24-7 at halftime. They came back all the way. They had every momentum.
And then they give it up.
And then they coughed it up. New Mexico, fantastic running team. 410 yards rushing.
Gouchy. Told you. He can move
the... And then Gauchy got an ouchie.
Yeah.
And Clayton Mitchum had to come in.
At least he could throw a little bit better, I guess.
No, he did. He actually threw worse.
That's hard to believe.
That interception that he had, up for grabs. No accuracy on it. New Mexico rush defense, though. Oh, my goodness. How do you give up 330 yards?
You're New Mexico's rush defense, that's all.
I don't remember that being them being this bad. I really don't.
They weren't very good last year. Huh. Yeah, because they had to get... I'm looking at... I actually only tuned into a little bit of this game. There's so many games, we can't watch them all. I'm glad you were able to get into it. So I'm going through I've looked through, like, the play-by-play. Dude, they're tied 24 apiece. Moving the ball. They got the Carlos Wiggins gets in on offense. 29-yard run. Clayton and Mitchell moves the ball a little bit. They're approaching the red zone. Jarrell Presley. Loss of 12 yards. Fumble. UTEP recovers.
Once again, that was the... and this comes back to... This was the part where I watched. That 12-yard loss, that was Jarrell Presley. That was a missed handoff. And Jarrell Presley basically jumping on it.
And then they defense actually steps up, gives up a big 18-yard run, use their timeouts, they're punting. They're punting at New Mexico. They're in a bad field position, but they're punting. Fumble the punt. UTEP scores one, two plays later, Aaron Jones, 3-yard TD run. That's the game.
I really can't say more about this game. It's a heartbreaking loss.
And UTEP's an okay team. They're probably nothing to...
Jamil Showers is probably in his, like, seventh year of eligibility.
Jamil, and he did okay. 11 of 22 for 116. What it came down to is you're minus three New Mexico, even though the last three came in the... Here's the thing. You're minus three. Okay, that's terrible. The minus three coming the final three times you touched the ball, but the fumble and then the mid botched handoff, fumble into punt, can't happen.
No, absolutely.
They have their running game. Gauci does great running the ball. Presley does fine running the ball. We'll see if Crucial Gongbe gets some more carries as the season goes on since he's back with the team. They just need to... A couple things, even without watching this game. Carlos Wiggins needs to probably get at least 7 touches on offense. I don't care how he gets it. At least 7. He got 4 in this game. Ran for 71 yards. He needs to get at least 7 touches. And he should be what Chad Hall... Do you remember Chad Hall from Air Force about a decade ago almost?
Yeah, I remember.
He was that Z-back. He ran the ball... Right, technically a wide receiver. I think he was offensive player of the year in the Mountain West when Air Force was pretty good. Got a shot at the Eagles, bounced around the NFL after his 2 years of service, but he was a guy, punt return, kick return, catch out of the slot. He would do this, fly sweeps, be part of the triple option as the guy who comes in motion as that third back. This is what Wiggins needs to be. He already returns pretty well. I don't think he didn't do any punt returns. He just kick returns. But it just came down to screwed up at the end. They don't know how to win. They had the game... not in hand, but a chance to pull away. 2 chances. Okay, the one fumble sucks. But then the defense goes out there and makes a great... Gives up one play. 4 plays later, they're punting the ball. Okay, we're back in this. Gives the offense a chance.
And then fumble it again.
Boom, and the defense is like, oh, we're done. Screw it. You can score UTEP. It's like, come on.
Well, at that point, the team only had 1 timeout left.
Well, and you got the ball inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah, for that, I actually agree. Just give up the touchdown.
I guess that's the... I didn't see. Maybe they did the little Olay play score to give us more time so they can't kneel it or something. One of those type of deals. But what do you think about New Mexico then? Is it something where they just can't execute at the end of the game? Because they should... This is the outcome you should expect from this game. These teams are evenly matched.
Yeah. And New Mexico was favored by 8 points. And I really think... I just don't... Man. I don't know. We might be seeing ourselves on the way to another 2-win New Mexico season.
All right, we got 2 games left, and we want to talk about these 2 games.
You can talk about sadness, because I didn't watch any of that game.
Okay, we'll get to that game.
But, oh my goodness, Hawaii.
Before we get to the game, there are 2 plays. 2 plays that change the outcome of this game. Can you name them?
Hold on. Yes, because I watched this whole game. I did. Because I love...
Late into the night, we watched this game. Aaron Taylor wearing his Hawaiian shirt. Calling the action.
I am wearing my Hawaiian shirt. Yes, so. Wow, they don't have any drives available? Screw you.
Yeah, they do. I do on that service you're using.
Yeah. Well, I should be using that service too.
No, what, would you like help with this?
Yes. No, actually, first of all.
One of them should come one of them should be very easy to come by.
Well, dropped pass the first quarter.
The trick play, the end around wide receiver pass?
Yes.
First off, the play worked. Should have been caught. However, that play should never have happened in the first place.
No, absolutely not.
It's like the adage, okay, you make a trick play, it works. Great. Or not even trick play. Like there was years ago, I think it was New England, Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady. Bill Belichick thinks he's the greatest thing ever. It's like, it's fourth, Monday Night Football, it's like 4th and short. They're like at their own 30-yard line, maybe, and I think they're up by less than a field goal or maybe less than a touchdown. They go for it, get it. Yeah, you make the play, but it's a dumb call in the first place. Play worked, essentially, for Hawaii, but the guy dropped the ball. They were in field goal range, kick a field goal. You would be... That would put you at...
This wasn't even just field goal range. This was deep in the red zone.
Yeah, I 13. Mean, this, yeah, yeah. It was this, like a 12-yard pass, wasn't it? I believe something like that.
What?
It was a short pass, like under 20 yards.
Yeah, it was a trick play, short pass. They were 10 yards away from the end zone.
They kick the field goal. They go up 13-0. However...
10-0.
No. They were already up 10-0.
They didn't go up 13-0.
Am I completely wrong on what I'm trying to figure out here then?
Yes.
No, because if you look at the 10-yard line, Woosley... No, because I'm looking at the drive chart. Unless I'm wrong here, they had this deep drive. Woosley had the incomplete pass.
Yeah.
Woosley's the quarterback. This was a wide receiver throw.
Right. No, but what I'm saying is it's the same thing. But Hawaii went up 10-0. They never went up 13-0.
No, they could. They would have, because the... Kemp, wasn't it? It was Kemp who threw that pass. Am I completely wrong here? No, here it is right here. It was in the... Oh, sorry. You're right. Sorry, I thought it happened earlier. Sorry, this is in the start of the second quarter. I apologize. It was...
It's the Marcus
Kemp. Sorry, 13-7, I believe. Yeah, Marcus Kemp. 13-7.
Fourth and two at the Washington 9.
You're Hawaii. Take the points.
If you take the field goal here, you're up 16-14.
No, 13-7.
Sorry, 13-7.
Sorry, we're all over the place here. It was 10-7, start of the second quarter. It would have been 13-7, yet incomplete pass, should have been caught. Yes, it might have been 17-7. At worst, 13-7. But then Jeff Lindquist throws a 91-yard touchdown pass to make it 14-10.
That was completely blown coverage.
Blown coverage. All right, do you know the other play I'm thinking of now?
Well, I got to think here. This is a lot of football, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of football, but we did watch this game in entirety.
Hold on.
It happened on Hawaii or Washington's first touchdown drive.
It happened to Washington. Oh, the personal foul.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was stupid.
Kasen Williams. It was not.
Although they kind of got screwed by the refs.
There was one later on where Woosley was tackled upon.
That was the defensive holding.
No, not just that, but there's a play where Woosley tried to make a play. The guy jumps over the the running back, flips in the air, and just basically falls on top of Woosley well off the play. But right there, Williams, or not, not Kevin Williams, sorry, excuse me. I'm looking at the wrong guy here. Naquan Phillips,
you had just stopped a team, third down and 12.
Punting as well. Punting, not in a field goal.
Yeah,
punting.
Deep territory. You have them punt. What the hell? Roughing the holder.
That's 14 points right there. Really 17 points if you want to do the 10-point swing in that. That's the game. If they don't make that penalty, and then they don't either don't drop the play end zone the pass on the end around throw by Marcus Kemp, and whether they complete that or kick a field goal, Hawaii wins this game.
Oh, yeah.
That's all it came down to. And Woosley throws the ball very well, sharp looking at it. Joey Iosefa, I called it, when he came in last year, played very well. That's why I put him high in the top 50 rankings. He's right there with DeHart and J.H.I. as the best running backs in the league. And Woosley can scramble a little bit. Woosley needs to be more accurate and make some more plays downfield. There's too many of these short passes that couldn't be completed or whatever.
Can I go ahead and add one more play?
Yeah, go for it.
Last drive.
I kind of dozed off during the game, so what was that last drive?
What?
I kind of dozed off late in the game. It was getting late for me.
Well, okay, so third and 10, Iosefa got, Woolsey passes to Iosefa, gets blown up in the backfield, fourth and 12. At this point, there's a minute 43 left.
Yeah.
Fourth and 12 on your 44-yard line. Look, I understand defense is tired. You want to win the game, but why would you punt?
Yeah, that was interesting.
It was a 27-yard punt.
Oh, yeah. I know I did. I had to wake up for that because I heard the announcers go, whoa, you yell something big. I woke up like, what happened? Rewound it a little bit to watch that. I do remember that. It's so
4th and 12, at that point, just go for it. Woolsey has been passing great all night. You want to know his final numbers? His final numbers were, 23 of 42 for 207 yards.
I don't call him great. Above average.
Okay, considering he's the one starting quarterback, not quadrant system.
Good point. He did out-duel Jeff Lindquist.
Yeah.
Where do you put Hawaii? Is Hawaii going to... Do they have a potential to do something in the West?
They might.
Is this... I'm thinking... Because there's two thoughts, obviously. Is Washington this bad, or is Hawaii actually a team?
I think a little bit of both. Washington was missing its starting quarterback due to suspension.
However, it still would have been a first-time starter. It's not like they're bringing back Keith Price.
No, but Siler did get a lot of playing time last year while Price was out.
True.
So he's not branded. And Siler Miles is built for that offense, too. Lundquist is not. At the same time, though, they were missing a lot more players due to injury as well.
And they're playing, like, Austin Severian Jenkins is out. They're graduating, moved on. Bishop Sankey's no longer there. They lost a lot of talent. But then in this game, you look at it, it wasn't a game where Washington, there's no turnovers at all to mention in this game.
My favorite comment on Every Day Should Be Saturday was from kind of a new commenter. And basically they said nothing is more dangerous than a team with nothing to lose. And that's what Hawaii was playing like. That's what they played like against Army last year. That's what they're playing like now. This is a Hawaii team with nothing to lose. They possibly hear that their program could be cut.
Not going to happen.
I mean, no, it's not going to happen, but they have nothing to lose, and Hawaii could be very, very dangerous, especially in the West.
Do you think they have a shot? Because they play host Oregon. Is Oregon State the host next week?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, because they play the late night game on CBS again. Oregon State, that'll be an interesting game. Oregon State, Sean Mannion, who actually throw the ball. We'll see how that goes. That'll be interesting, those guys. I'm high in Hawaii, so I want to see another game, because even though that 16 points, they weren't... This isn't Hawaii last year where they needed a furious comeback. They were holding Washington in check. And Washington, if you look at the Pac-12 North, it's Oregon, Stanford, and people are going to Washington. Right?
Right.
Then you got Cal's. It looks better than I thought. They're at the bottom. Washington State, or Oregon State may be right there. Washington, Oregon State are about to be could be the same. So this is equivalent to Arizona almost in the South.
How about this? How about Hawaii completely outgaining Washington?
Yeah, by about 100 yards.
On both fronts, passing and rushing.
And then
this is my favorite for best 1-2 punch in the Mountain West. Joey Eosefa, Stephen Lakalaka.
Sure, Lakalaka did. I'd like to give him a few more carries. But here's also one last thing before we get to our final game.
When was the last time you saw a Hawaii team with 54 carries?
Yeah, never.
But that's not cute. You just blew the computer up.
Yeah. But here's what I think is Hawaii's defense has been terrible. They hold Washington. Outside, if you take away that 91-yard pass, even though it did happen, they're sitting at 240 for the game. 70 passing on the game. So their defense much improved after, because they brought in a Utah State's linebacker coach to be the DC, and he's doing great things already. They held Washington 5-16 on third down. They were just out there making plays. They just, offense kind of screwed them over a little bit. And then the one bad defensive penalty that shouldn't have happened. So let's move on to the final game of the weekend. I hate it when people come out and say, I knew this months ago. This was never going to happen. Utah State, Tennessee. Maybe we were all a bit too high with Chucky coming back and everything. But also, Vegas is never rarely this wrong. Tennessee was a 6-point favorite, ended up being a 4-point favorite when the game began. But it did not end that way. So you saw 0 of this game, Chris?
I saw 0 of this game.
This is not a good game. There were.
I'm glad I saw zero.
Yeah, Tricky Keaton, 18 and 35, 144, TD, two picks. He only ran the ball 8 times for 12 yards with an 11-yard long. He, first off, wide receivers need to learn how to catch the ball and take a hit if you're going to get hit. The big play of the game, even though it was 38-7, Utah State, Tennessee goes up and scores. Then Utah State fumbles the kickoff. And when it's 14-0, that was basically the game. The defense for Utah State, for the most part, you couldn't tell, but they were actually playing pretty well. There's also news that Kyle Frackle went out, and we're not sure if his status is with a knee injury. That could be pretty devastating. But you can't really tell, but the defense looked okay. Like, they only gave up 110 yards rushing, 2.8 yards of play. And then passing, Justin Worley had 273 total yards, 27 of 38. Okay, that's not what you want, but they held Tennessee only had 383 yards of total offense.
Yeah, so a lot of that was short field.
There were three interceptions. Yeah, three interceptions in the punt, the fumble kick, but still, that's not bad. If you're losing by 31 points and you only give up that many yards.
No, that's...
And then if you want to bring it up further, yeah, short field, but 2.8 yards per run, come on. You're winning by that much, you should be running much better, you think. Running game is not good. Like, running game couldn't do anything. The new offensive line was not very good. We could overstate, but people were all up on there. Oh, Chucky Keaton's nothing. Blah, blah. Tennessee's great. And we knew Boise's going to win the Mountain West no matter what. I'm like, well, Boise State lost their game as well. Utah State, yeah, they played bad. Tennessee's looking to be much better, but...
Tennessee's still going to finish fifth pass.
Yeah, they're going to struggle. I think I could safely say they'll be a bowl team this year now. Because leading into the season, anybody and everybody was saying, well, they're going to struggle to reach a bowl game. Like we said, we know nothing after 1 week. If you know this was going to happen, you're cheating, or you have the almanac from Back to the Future to know what's going to happen. Utah State just didn't look good at all. There were some drop passes. Keaton looked okay throwing the ball at times. He looked comfortable, took some hits. But he couldn't get anything done. In this running game, Joe Hill had 22 yards. This was just a game Tennessee just outplayed them and made Utah State way too many mistakes. Utah State was 3 of 14 on third downs, 11 total first downs. I think it's going to be... like I said, it's week one. I assume we have to elevate CSU past Utah State right now?
Yeah, we have to elevate CSU to the top of the ring.
Yeah, not just because they won, but they actually beat a legitimate football team.
Not really legitimate, but they...
A non-FCS team.
They beat a Power 5 team.
No, Power 5 conference team. Let me just rephrase it. A team from a Power 5 conference. Is that better?
That's fine.
I'm just saying. All right, do you have any lasting thoughts on this weekend since we are passing the hour 15 mark here?
No, but we might as well do our Twitter questions.
Oh, do we have any? I didn't think we had any.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I'm on the wrong Twitter account. Then what's the questions we have?
Okay, most of them were sent to me tonight.
Folks, thanks for tweeting that. I was occupied. I was at the Nickel Arcade earlier today. Exciting.
Yay!
So okay. What do we got?
So... the first question is, which fan base, after week one, will experience more of the wailing and gnashing of teeth? Utah State, Fresno, or Boise?
So after week one?
Mm-hmm.
As in, how would you... Okay, I made them up. Like, what do they mean by that exactly? Like, they're upset at the outcome?
Oh, woe is me. We're going to be horrible. Blah, 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 blah.
No, because Boise State fans are very confident still, as far as I can tell. At least towards my Twitter, saying DeHart is a terrible running back after week one.
I did not say that.
I know, but I got to say Utah State because they've never won before. But yet they have Chucky Key. No, I got to go Fresno State because I'll mention the stupid stat again. They lost 70% of their offense from last year. They don't have a quarterback. Apparently, they don't have a running baller is okay. I got to go Fresno. So Utah State think, okay, Chucky, it's one game to get him back. He'll get into the routine. They'll be okay. I think it's Fresno State.
I think it's Fresno State as well. Boise looked competent until the fourth quarter.
Correct.
Utah State, I didn't watch any of, so I don't know. But
defense was good. Defense played. Yeah, the score was outstanding, which is the main thing of a game. Defense looked above average, even when Fackrell left. But offense has some work to do. But you got Tricky Keaton, so you're going to be confident with Tricky.
Exactly. Exactly. So the second question then is: is Hawaii maybe almost something close to decent? And we kind of answer that, and the answer is yes.
I think our preview show we did, we should not have skewed away from them being terrible at the end of the show as we did. I don't want to say that. I still want to see more of them to know what's going on. But if they're going to make a bowl game, I think they got to beat Oregon State. I don't know if they will, but I think they're going to surprise some teams, and they'll be right there for a bowl game. Not going back to my three wins, I think I said maybe four, but they'll be. I think they could at least get, I think they if they keep playing like we did, then we think Washington State's pretty good. Five games should be okay for them at least. Okay. That's a stretch. That's a stretch for them winning three games in 2 years.
And the last question is, and this might be better for our previous show later this week, will we see the other side of the Rebs this Saturday? The good side.
Who do they play again? I don't have their schedule up in front of me.
Northern Colorado.
Oh.
FCS team.
Come on, ask me that when they play an FBS team. They're going to win. There's no question. They're going to win. So it's too early to tell on that question, sir or madam.
Yeah, I think for sure we're going to see the other side of the Rebels this Saturday. It's the next Saturday against Northern Illinois is what I'm concerned about.
Do you at all, really quick, since our time's long, do we want to run through our quick power rankings or no? Or just wait for the poll to come out?
Let's wait for the poll to come out.
I'm getting kind of tired. It's getting late here. So thanks for joining us. We're back. Week previews, recaps, week one recap. Thank you for listening to this 80-minute show. Oh, jeez. We got to cut this down somehow. And this is even with four FCS teams going on, I think.
This is 12 games, dude.
Yeah, 12 games. We have a few less next week just because there's Colorado State, Boise State, Air Force, Wyoming. Dual lead games on ESPN at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, 8:15 Mountain Time. So we got some conference action. Check out the show, iTunes, SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio. Check out our website, mwcconnection.com. We got... join our comment threads. We had a lot of comments today about random posts, but join our open threads. I'm tired of me, Chris, and Matt hanging out only, pretty much.
And the other assorted Boise State fans.
We got a few guys. Not to knock anybody out there, but...
we have been growing our comment section, but we need to grow more.
I'm glad this past week we had a handful. We had 22 comments on my kind of, here's what happened week one. So hang out, do all that fun stuff. Check out the website, Twitter, MWC Connection. We'll be back because the games are Friday. Here's our schedule, most likely. Labor Day holiday, a little bit different because stuff happens, family. Game Sunday night. Our tentative schedule will be recording Wednesday and Sunday. Is that correct, Chris? Is that good for you?
Wait, Wednesday and Sunday typically?
Or do you want to do Tuesday, Sunday?
No. I can't do it unless you plan on starting at 11 o'clock, 11:30 Mountain Time on Wednesday.
Tuesday it is?
Yeah, probably Tuesday.
So tomorrow we'll be back?
Maybe.
We'll see what we can do.
Do we have any games on Thursday?
No, there's Friday games.
Let's do them Thursday.
We'll see. We'll discuss off air because we need to wrap this up. So check us out. Thanks for listening. Give us a comment on the show. Rate us at iTunes. Follow us on SoundCloud, Stitch or whatever. I don't care how you listen. Listen, tell a friend. If each friend that listens to us tells another friend, we'll have thousands
of listeners. And each one of their friends tells another friend?
And joins our pyramid scheme of listening to our radio show. Gold. We get a couple hundred. I want to try to get 1,000 listeners to our shows this year. Is that too much to ask for?
Might be, but we can always try.
I'll tell people right now, we get hundreds of listeners every show.
We do get hundreds of listeners every show.
We just wanted to be more than a couple hundred.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks for listening. We'll just add football. All I can say is football's back, and next week we'll have our shows for a handful of games, about 10 games. And let's just hope your team did well this week. If not, do better next time.
Sports!